Do you check a patient's centric relation during an initial orthodontic examination appointment? I think most orthodontists check to make certain that there are no significant differences between maximum intercuspation and centric relation. Now, I'm defining centric relation as the midmost, uppermost relationship of the condyle and the fossa. So if you do check this relationship, do you typically find any significant differences? I think the answer to that in the minds of most orthodontists would be yes. The differences may not be great, but there is typically some sort of slide between CR and CO. Now, for my last question, would this slide be greater in patients who have temporomandibular joint symptoms, or perhaps less? That's a little bit more difficult question to answer. But the answer to that question can be found in the September 2010 issue of The Angle Orthodontist. The title of that article is Condylar Displacement Between Centric Relation and Maximum Intercuspation in Symptomatic and Asymptomatic Individuals. This study comes out of the Department of Orthodontics at the University of São Paulo in Brazil. The senior author is Dr. Weffert. Now, the purpose of this study was to perform a cross-sectional investigation to measure condylar displacement between centric relation and maximum intercuspation in a group of symptomatic compared to asymptomatic individuals. Now, when I say symptomatic and asymptomatic, I'm talking about patients with TMD. There are specific research diagnostic criteria that have been established for TMD. And so the definition of symptomatic in this paper was defined by these specific criteria. The overall sample consisted of 70 subjects. They were divided into half asymptomatic and half symptomatic individuals. Females and males were represented in both samples. Then in each group, all of the dental casts of these individuals were mounted on a fully adjustable articulator. These articulators could record differences between CR and CO. The authors evaluated the amount of change in three dimensions, vertically, anteroposteriorly, and transversely. The authors then compared the amount of shift between CR and CO between symptomatic and asymptomatic subjects, and also took into consideration the patient's gender. Okay, what did the authors find? Is there any difference between symptomatic and asymptomatic subjects? And the answer to that question is yes, sort of. Let me explain. First of all, in the symptomatic group, the authors found that the difference in the amount of shift was greater on the right side than on the left side in the vertical plane. This was compared to those subjects who were asymptomatic, who had much less of a shift in these directions. What about in the transverse plane? The authors found that the asymptomatic subjects had a greater transverse shift predominantly in a mesial direction compared to the symptomatic group. In addition, the presence of bilateral condylar displacement, in other words, both right and left sides, in an inferior and distal direction were significantly greater in symptomatic individuals. Okay, last question. What about differences between males and females? Based upon this study, the authors found no significant difference in the amount of shift between symptomatic and asymptomatic individuals when it came to comparing genders. So in conclusions, the authors did find some differences between the genders. Now you have to trust the authors' methods. They did mount these dental casts on articulators, and they made transfer recordings using centric relation records and maximum intercuspation records. But we all know there's some error in doing this. It seems to me that this type of study might perhaps be more accurate if performed in other ways. But at least this is a good start in answering a question such as this. So if you'd like to read this study for yourself, you'll find it in the September 2010 issue of The Angle Orthodontist.